feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
You're tuned in to the FF Faceoff. Here, ready to drop the elbow on your competition, is Mike and Anthony. Ooh, yeah, dig it. Yeah, the FF Faceoff.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to the FF Faceoff. This is a podcast proudly brought to you by Fantasy Football King.
Behold the King. The King of Kings.
Where I genuinely feel bad for Bears fans. I'll explain that in a moment. I want to just say I don't dislike Andy Dalton, just the Chicago Bears fans thought they were going home with the prom queen, and they went home with, you know, a six, a very respectable six, someone who's liked in the community and, you know, does good things. But yeah, so there you go. In case you guys don't know, Andy Dalton went to the Bears, so we're going to discuss it. My name is Michael Hoff. You can follow me on Twitter at the FF Realist. My partner in crime is Anthony Servino. He can be followed at the Real NFL Guru. Real NFL Guru. Yes. Now, the reason why I'm all jumbled up with my words, the reason why I'm so excited is because this is NFL free agency time. We've got a lot going on today. So, Anthony, how you doing, buddy? How's it going?
Mike, I am doing fantastic. What, it's been busy for the past 5 days, but really since yesterday and today, we have a lot of signings. Now, not so much in the running back and wide receiver department, but we're seeing tight ends and quarterbacks and defensive players and linemen go. A lot of implications that may not directly affect your fantasy team, but things, if you are paying attention, you should know about, because they do ultimately affect your fantasy team. And outside of fantasy, the betting landscape, Mike.
Right.
The betting landscape, when you look at what Tampa Bay has done, when you look at New Orleans Saints losing Drew Brees, and now they have the quarterback conundrum, Kansas City really retooling their entire offensive line, there's going to be a lot of changes. And in right now, Kansas City is still the number one team. Odds-wise, to win Super Bowl 56, Tampa's number two. I would jump all over Tampa Bay right now, because it's only a matter of time before they leapfrog Kansas City.
All right. So, with all that being said, we do have a guest coming on today, of course. Lindsay O.K. will be joining us. Well, I'm going to send the invite right meow. So, there you go. So, if you guys are on Twitter, you guys know who she is, or you ought to know who she is. You can follow her at Lindsay Y-O-K. She is an NFL analyst and media personality, and also retired ballerina. Anthony, I'm not sure if you have any work in that area, but there you go. So we'll have her on in a hot second. She's going
to
be great.
I used to date a ballerina, actually.
Okay, that's cool. So that's all right. We'll give you a partial credit there.
Not a professional or anything, but she did ballet, and she's actually a piano teacher in college at some point. I don't talk to her anymore, but that's what I know about her at this point. Long time ago. Many wives and girlfriends ago. I'm friends with her brother, actually.
That's okay. This is becoming an awkward story. All right. Well, there you go. So there's a latest in not the latest, but there's a walk down memory lane in Anthony's love life. So there you go. So Yes, we're going to discuss all of the moves. We'll discuss some of the moves that have not happened yet. Maybe some players that we think, you know, where can they go? We shall find out. We'll discuss all of it. Anthony, before Lindsay comes on, just to discuss your team, Cowboys, all's quiet on the Western front right now. Do you expect them to be very active in free agency or no?
Well, you know, they opened up the cap space by, you know, getting Dak and his $22.2 million cap number this year. They restructured three starters on the offensive line, opening up more money. They lost Chidobe Awuzie to the Cincinnati Bengals, who for the second straight offseason, extremely busy attacking defensive notable players available in the open market. The latest one, I believe, Trey Hendrickson and Chidobe. Dallas did retain Noah Brown, you know, number four, number five receiver, maybe another defensive guy. But what Dallas is going to do, they're going to wait for the second wave. They're going to wait for the guys who want to get paid and realize they're not going to get paid and start chipping away at them.
Yeah. It does seem as active as it is. You do hear that there are several teams that are kind of waiting, waiting to make their move and also waiting to make their move on the wide receiver market. I mean, from everything we're hearing, it's a very slow moving market, except Anthony, we did get, we got Corey Davis yesterday going to the Jets. We can discuss that a little bit, but also just before we came on air, we got Marvin Jones headed to a new team, correct, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. Marvin Jones signs a 2-year deal, right around $9.2 million guaranteed, if I read that correctly. And he's going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yesterday, the rumors, I don't know if they were real or not, was DJ Chark was headed to the Baltimore Ravens. That has not happened. I don't know if that will happen, but right now, we knew the Jacksonville Jaguars, they had the most cap space, I believe, coming in. We knew they were going to be busy with Urban Meyer and the likeliest team they're going to, draft Trevor Lawrence. They need to put pieces around him. Guys like Conley and Keelan Cole and D.D. Westbrook, they're on the open market. They're not going to be re-signed. So we have Laviska Shenault, D.J. Chark, and now a veteran for, we assume, Trevor Lawrence. Throw the football to it, and I can't love it anymore.
There you go. Anthony, what are we drinking today?
I have a Bang energy drink. Energy drink. They also make a pre-workout, and it is called Delish Strawberry Kiss. So I'm happy
Delish
about that.
Delish Strawberry Kiss.
Absolutely.
Okay. You could have made up any other name for that. So
but I didn't make it up. It's real.
I understand that. I'm saying to save face, but there you go.
I don't need to save face.
I understand. Now joining us, we have Lindsay. Lindsay, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
All right. Just marinating on some of this tampering talk, and we're discussing our drinks just now. Anthony has a strawberry kiss drink.
Bang, yes.
Bang, right.
What is that?
It's an energy drink.
Energy drink and pre-workout.
Yeah.
Oh. Or they make a pre-workout. This is the energy drink version, but it's really good.
Yeah. And today I'm going with some Glendale Irish whiskey.
I have water.
Okay.
I'm really disappointed in myself, but
that's fine. So we're covering everywhere. So there you go. Lindsay, we were talking a little bit about some of these moves. So I'll ask you for your thoughts on Andy Dalton going to the Bears. But before you answer that, also, of course, we already kind of discussed, discussed what you do, we've always said we're big fans of you, of course. So tell everybody where they can follow you and check out all your work first. And then let's talk about the Bears.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everything. The same name, Lindsay OK. I do lindsayok.com and then a bunch of other stuff. So, I don't really call myself. Everybody asks me that, and I just,
that's it.
Here I am.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. But there you go. But so the Bears, they end up signing Andy Dalton. We heard some rumors. I'm getting set up here to go on, and all of a sudden I just see, I see you tweet, I see everybody else tweet, laughing out loud, laugh my ass off, all the works. So what do you make of this? And is it funny because we think Andy Dalton's not going to be good, or is it funny just because I think it's funny or sad? because Bears fans had these grand aspirations of getting Russell Wilson, which I didn't think was going to happen. But yeah. What are your thoughts?
I like Andy Dalton as like a person. He's a great dude. He did a lot in Cincinnati. I have nothing bad to say about him, but I mean, he's just not that great. And I feel like if you're like, he did fine with the Cowboys last year, but he's a backup now. That's fine to say. He's in like the last stretch of his career. That's usually the route that a lot of guys take. But to have Andy Dalton as your starter, like, and you are trying to have a quarterback competition with Nick Foles, like, it's like you're going from Walmart brand to Walmart brand here. You're not upgrading at all. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. Because, again, yeah, you, and also my other thing, and then, Anthony, you can comment on this. I'm also thinking Ryan Pace, this could be whether he keeps his job or not. This offseason here.
Yeah.
This stamp could be whether he stays employed. And his best foot forward was, I'm going to sign Andy Dalton. I mean, we've got time to go. We'll see if anything else happens. But, I'm not so sure. But, Anthony, Andy Dalton, you were a supporter of Dalton, though, because he did help your Cowboys a little bit in a valiant effort. But what says you?
I'm going to start here. And I'm an Andy Dalton guy, and you know, earlier in his career, very early, it looked like things were going in the right direction. There was a lot of injuries. There was Marvin Lewis. The Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, for the past two off seasons, look what Cincinnati is doing, aggressively attacking the defensive side of the football, spending money in free agency. They did not do that when Andy Dalton was there. But I'm going to go here for Ryan Pace, and I'm also going to go here for Les Snead on the Rams. Matthew Stafford, Mike, did Matthew Stafford go for? And he has a 74-90-1 record, which is obviously below 500. Andy Dalton, 74-66-2, which is above 500. Neither one of them have won a playoff game. We all collectively have as many playoff wins as they do, but one essentially went for three first-round picks, two real first-round picks, and Jared Goff, the former number one overall pick. Andy Dalton, you get at a discount. Who's the better general manager? And why is Matthew Stafford the anointed savior of the NFL?
I think the better question is, why do you hate Matthew Stafford so much?
I don't get the hype. I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't see that much of a difference, to be honest.
I always have to deal with Anthony and his smearing of Matthew Stafford. So I'm going to let you take that one if you'd like. You know, he does make a good point. You know, not as much spent on Dalton as there was for Stafford, but what says you?
Yeah, I get it. Like, I understand why the Rams went from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. But at the same time, I don't think if it's that big of an upgrade as everybody wants it to be. I mean, it's just kind of like throwing a lateral to me.
Thank you.
So yeah, I do think Matthew Stafford will benefit more from the change of scenery than Jared Goff will. But I mean, that also can be attributed to Matthew Stafford has a lot more to work with in Los Angeles than Jared Goff does in Detroit.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah, fair enough. And Anthony, hopefully that is the end of your Matthew Stafford hate for today.
Just for today. There's more to come.
There's more to come, right. And then Ben Roethlisberger, I'm sure, and yada, yada, yada. You know, one thing I thought was interesting, and I thought it'd be perfect to bring up to Lindsay, because we know how big of a fan she is of his. Matt Ryan had himself a pretty big cap hit coming into this year. And turns out he's restructured. So any thoughts, you know, Lindsay, I'll go to you. Any thoughts there, Matt Ryan and him restructuring his deal?
I mean, it was bound to happen. Falcons are stupid if they didn't do that. I still think regardless whether they did it or not, they still have to draft a guy this year. They have to.
You think they do that first round, you think? You think that it's one of these quarterbacks here?
Position two.
Yeah.
I would if I were the general manager. I would cut, if I were the general manager of the Falcons, I would cut Matt Ryan first. But I am definitely picking the quarterback.
What the hell's going on?
All right. Yeah, I've seen, you know, before I feel like the hype took off for Zach Wilson, there were early mocks that had the Falcons jumping in and grabbing him, but I don't, you know, I would think that if he's got, I still think he's going to go early. I still don't believe the Jets are going to go with Sam Darnold, so we'll see. But Anthony, any thoughts there? Matt Ryan restructuring. Lindsay's correct. I mean, it was going to happen. It has to happen. He, next to Ben Roethlisberger, I believe he had the biggest cap hit as far as quarterbacks go. So what says you, Anthony?
Yeah, you know, there were always the rumors that Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, they were on their way out of Atlanta. But when they have substantial contracts like that, it's hard to find a dance partner, especially at the juncture of their career. It's not like Deshaun Watson, where you know you can get 10-plus years out of him. Matt Ryan is on the back nine.
Put it in the jar.
But Arthur Smith comes over from Tennessee. What I think he's going to do, he's going to not maybe put that much pressure on Matt Ryan as the old regimes would. We're going to see whatever running back they bring in, we're going to see more of a running team. And the Falcons, if you remember, in the past two offseasons, spent a lot of money in draft capital trying to build up that offensive line. They just whiffed on Todd Gurley, which is why they had a clean house of the front office last year. But this is good. Like, we see quarterbacks playing into their 40s. Matt Ryan is on the back nine, but I still think he has some juice left, and he's still a quality to upside quarterback in this league. You have Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, Julio Jones. You have a ton of weapons. I don't see why Matt Ryan has to go anywhere and why blow it up. This is a team that was knocking at the door of a Super Bowl a few years ago, and if it wasn't for your guy, Kyle Shanahan, easy, blowing that game.
Easy with that.
Matt Ryan isn't going anywhere. Matt Ryan would have his Super Bowl ring right now, and he would be untouchable like Drew Brees was, which was asinine for the past 3 years.
I appreciate that. By the way, it looks like Jacoby Brissett is going to the Dolphins. I'm seeing that as well on here. So there you go. He'll step in whenever they don't believe in Tua, and that'll work out well. That'll be a nice functional relationship.
Week two.
Yeah, week two, right. Week two, third quarter, coming in. So there you go. I guess we can get to the Patriots in a hot second. But I will just say, Lindsay, to Anthony's point, maybe about the Falcons maybe shifting to a little more run, take a little bit of heat off of Matt Ryan. There's still some decent names out there as far as running backs. I got Slaughter today because I said Marlon Mack is not dead, even though he tore his Achilles. Apparently, you can never come back from that ever again. What says you? Is there a capable running back, something that would get you excited at all if they join the Falcons?
I mean, the thing with the Falcons is like Anthony said, Matt Ryan has lots of weapons right now. Matt Ryan has had weapons his entire career and has done nothing. So now that he's on the back end of his career, are we really expecting him to do anything else? He hasn't done anything his entire career. So, I mean, I really think it doesn't matter, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, there you go. I figured I'd get that sort of response. So.
Like, I haven't been able to hate on Matt Ryan for a while. So thank you. For letting me
out
my system.
I'm glad I was able to help you out there. Now, the Patriots, they come out this morning, you know, trying to enjoy my coffee, and they go ahead and they sign right out of the gates. They're bringing in Hunter Henry after bringing in Jonnu Smith yesterday, after basically supermarket sweeping, tampering, adding guys offensively, defensively. I refer to it as the Empire Striking Back. But, Lindsay, I mean, my whole thing here would be it looks as if the Patriots are looking to set this up for Cam Newton. Two tight end sets, strong defense. Is that the right way to go?
I really like that they're making some moves for Cam Newton because they straight up did not last year at all. But I also think they are spending money like they have the sense to draft a rookie quarterback, that they are planning to have a guy who's on a rookie contract for a while. That's the sense that I got when they're, you know, drafting all these guys. So, but either way, I mean, either way works. If they're going to have Cam Newton play and have the rookie sit, or if they decide to go that direction, or if they decide to go the Justin Herbert direction, where he is a surprise starter and it ends up out. I don't know. I just have this feeling that, I mean, it's Bill Belichick. Like, he had an off year last year, if we want to call it that, but he still has a plan.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Anthony, we haven't really spoken much about the Patriots and what they've been doing the last couple of days. So, what are your thoughts? Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, two tight end sets, fantasy communities crying their eyes out. I don't personally care. Neither does Bill Belichick. But Anthony, what says you about everything that's going on in Foxborough right now?
You know, last year around this time, Tom Brady was on his way out. He might have been out by then. And I was saying the Patriots roster, they were a 4-6 win roster. They eventually add Cam later in the offseason. I said maybe they're an 8-win team now. My tune has completely changed. If you look at the moves the Patriots made before free agency and the tampering period even starts, they trade for Trent Brown, their old right tackle, Cannon, who opted out last year. They send him, I believe, to Houston. They're getting Hightower and Chung back. Guys like Brandon Bolden on the special teams, they're all coming back. And then free agency happens, and they're spending money, and they're signing guys like Jalen Mills and I can't say the last name, the interior defensive lineman from Miami, who had a really strong start to the year and then ended up on injured reserve. They are adding pieces on defense. That defense was already good, and I know Gilmore's on his way out. Yeah. But, you know, they're in play to get a Patrick Surtain if he falls to them in the NFL draft. Patrick Surtain Jr., one of those other cornerbacks to replace him. But defensively, we're looking at another top five defense from New England. Offensively, they're throwing money at Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, the two tight end sets, and we're seeing half-assed comps to Gronk and Hernandez. I personally was in Foxborough for a Cowboys game, and Aaron Hernandez actually caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the fourth quarter against my Cowboys. But it's not like you just never seen anything like what Hernandez and Gronk brought, and that's what they're not getting that with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. But I understand the concept. This has worked in the past for New England. They brought in Kendrick Bourne from your 49ers, who I believe is a very under-the-radar signing. Nelson Aguilar, former first-round pick. Like they're loading up for Cam Newton. And what did I say? Why am I starting to buy into Cam? Well, like Brady earlier in his career, Cam and Brady, they didn't need a lot of help, and they still won games. At this juncture, of course, Brady's a lot older. He needs help. At this juncture, Cam needs help, and I think that's what they're surrounding Cam Newton with. Bill Belichick doesn't want to go 7-9 again, and it's not going to happen. The Jets are still the Jets. They are a year to 3 years away from competing, no matter what the hell they do this year. And they made some decent moves, but like, is Corey Davis really scaring anybody? Let's be real here. The Buffalo Bills, probably the best team in the division. They can't run the football. They blew out New England at the end of the year, but the first game was a one-possession game. And then the Miami Dolphins, we don't know what they're going to be. They're going to have a really good defense, but what are they going to do at quarterback? That AFC East is a lot closer than what people are giving credit for, and the New England Patriots will be a playoff team in 2021. I love the offseason New England has had so far. They're not done yet, and if you ask me, the Buccaneers for retaining their guys – and they're in talks with Fournette, Antonio Brown, and Dominican Sue to bring them back. I think the Patriots and the Bucs are the early winners of the offseason, and it's not close.
Right. All right. A lot to unpack there, Lindsay. But anything to go off of that, off of what Anthony was saying about what the Patriots are doing?
Yeah, I think I'd also add the Jags to that. They're doing some good things, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Just got Marvin Jones in there as well. Now, I would be remiss if I don't bring this up because, again, Lindsay, I think you threatened to block me once if I didn't stop saying things about Jimmy Garoppolo. So I held off for a little bit. But one thing I hear, listen, here on sports radio, Boomer Esiason was saying it this morning. I've heard other people say it on Twitter, so on and so forth. Some people are still not a believer that Cam Newton is going to be – that he's going to be the guy in New England. You know, so maybe they think that they're bringing in another quarterback, do a two quarterback thing. And I think people are going to keep going back to Jimmy Garoppolo until the NFL draft happens. Because then we'll see, do the Niners draft the guy or not? And once they don't, we know Jimmy's the guy. This is what we're doing. So, Lindsay, what are your thoughts there? Do you think that there's any potential to maybe the Niners making that move finally? I think they're waiting for the draft. Or do you think the Patriots bring in any other quarterback to compete against Cam Newton right now?
I don't think so. I just think the whole Garoppolo connection is because that was Bill's guy to begin with. That was who he had planned to take over for Brady. And he studied him and he knew him and all that kind of stuff. It's also why you heard Garoppolo to Chicago is because that's where he's from. There's nothing else to that to me. It's just, and don't get me started on 49ers fans. It's unbelievable. It's rough. To me. I've never seen a fan base turn so hard on their quarterback that just took them to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I really have not ever seen it before in my entire life.
My logic there is it's not that I've turned my back on Jimmy. If Jimmy's the quarterback, then I'm pumped. Let's roll. Let's rock. Let's do it. My thing is just I don't buy Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch sitting up there and saying he's our guy. We believe in him. It's going to happen. Because if that was the case, why did you kick the tires on Tom Brady? And I get it. Tom Brady's a different breed than any other quarterback they would bring in. He's the greatest of all time. So that's just my thing. I have trust issues with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And while I trust the moves that they make are the best for the franchise, I don't trust them when they say Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy. And really, what else are they going to say? I think they would kind of hamstring themselves if they came out now and said that.
Yeah, but also like a lot of that for me comes from the notion that Kyle can do pretty much anything with whatever quarterback was given to him.
Yeah,
so that's where a lot of that comes from for me.
All right. I get it. Makes sense. Fair enough.
I'm also a big, huge Jimmy Garoppolo supporter.
All right. Well, there you go. So, Anthony, now I'm glad we cleared the air. So I don't have to get blocked now. And that will be fine. It'll be okay. And I'll be on my best behavior. But, Anthony, what says you, Jimmy Garoppolo? Do you think he's going to be the guy in San Francisco? Do you think that they add somebody now to compete with Cam Newton?
New England? I wouldn't put it past them because the deal, like everybody looks at that $14 million number that was initially brought out. It's really like $5 million. And there is like $7 or $8 million in incentives. Yeah. And if the team makes the playoffs and if Cam Newton eats a hot dog on a sideline, he gets another $10 here. A lot has to happen for that number to come to fruition, which leaves the door open for New England to go draft a quarterback or trade for a Jimmy Garoppolo. And I still think Garoppolo could be a New England Patriot. And if that's the case, Cam Newton's out. And they're not on the hook for really anything.
Right. Yeah. No. And like, that's the beauty of
making Taysom Hill, $16.2 to $5 million. And I know they maneuvered the cap a little bit, but like before they did that in New Orleans, like they signed Jameis Winston. He's the expected starter right now. Can you imagine New England? You're on the hook for Cam, $5 million cap hit, Taysom Hill, $16 million cap hit. And what if Jameis Winston plays well? Former first round pick. He had the LASIK last year. What if he plays well? And then you're paying the MacGyver of the NFL $16 million for a handful of plays a game.
Yeah, I'll never understand that. Lindsay, you have any thoughts there on the Saints and what they're doing at quarterback, money that they're spending at the position?
The whole thing is so confusing to me because I was one of the people that not only I've been saying this is Drew Brees' last year for the past 3 years,
And it should have been 3 years ago.
Yeah. But after that Taysom Hill contract, I'm like, what is the point of paying a guy that much money if he's not going to be your starter?
Right.
And like they can say like Jameis is the starter all they want, but the fact that they don't know yet is what's concerning me. Obviously there's time, like somebody could, you know, outperform the other in training camp or whatever, but as of right now, it doesn't seem to me like they have a plan. And I mean, Same thing. It's like throwing a lateral. Same thing with the Bears. Like, do you know Nick Foles, Andy Dalton? Which one's better at this point? You don't. So that's like really concerning for a team to me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, I hear you. And yeah, I it's mind boggling to me what the Saints are doing, but whatever. We'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, another quarterback who, Anthony, I said on our free agent prediction show a while ago. Feels like an eternity ago. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? Ryan Fitzpatrick winds up in Washington. I think it's a good move. I like this move. And I get some people on Twitter were kind of critical of it, saying, well, you know, this means that they're kind of at a stalemate as far as the future and what that means. Well, but of course, that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. I mean, I'm sure they were aware of that when they picked up the phone and called him. They weren't expecting him to be their 10-year starter. But, Anthony, what are your thoughts, Ryan Fitzpatrick? And, I mean, to the the other thing that pisses me off, by the way, is like people on Twitter with fantasy football. They're like, oh, man, Terry McLaurin is going to be so good now. We could have put this bottle in a Washington football jersey and everybody would have been like, whoa, 150 targets. Here we come. Like, he's going to be great either way. But, Anthony, what are your thoughts? Ryan Fitzpatrick, 1-year deal with Washington.
I mean, if we're going to take a fantasy spin to it, I think it is a good move for Terry McLaurin, but right. Pump the brakes. Is that guarantee he's going to be a wide receiver one? Absolutely not. Because there's a guy named Taylor Heinicke there, and they didn't give Taylor Heinicke like the minimum. They gave him okay money for a backup who's going to compete for a starting job. I mean, he was in a playoff game battling against Tom Brady a few weeks ago. So they obviously had some kind of a trust in him. But this Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, this is great. This is great for publicity for the franchise. I think this is going to be good overall, because if Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know this is a guy, he has nothing to lose. He had nothing to lose back with the Jets when he was throwing, and that's when this Fitzmagic thing started. He knew he's a career backup. I'm going to take shots because the worst thing that can happen is they bench me and I'm still a backup in the league. And he's taking shots to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker and company. And he starts to play really, really well. What Washington has in their favor is they have a top five defense to cover the mistakes that Ryan Fitzpatrick will make. But in a division with the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles, two teams in a rebuild. Dallas looks like a team with a healthy Dak, and if they make the right moves on the offensive line, they need depth, and they need to figure out what they're going to do with Tyron Smith. Dallas is obviously the de facto team to win this division, but Ryan Fitzpatrick puts Washington in a really, really good spot to actually exploit the weapons they do have in a McLaurin, McKissick, Antonio Gibson, and Logan Thomas. Now, do they need to bring in wide receiver help? Absolutely. But this is just a solid move. Like, what I foresee with Ryan Fitzpatrick is a lot of what we saw last year with the Miami Dolphins. Similar build teams, end defense, one or two quality weapons. You're okay to upside at running back. Like, this is what you have right now. But what Washington has to do is they have to figure out their future, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to play 2, 3, 4 more years at this level. He's not Tom.
No, nobody's Tom, Anthony. Nobody's Tom. Always tell me. You tell nobody's me every
Tom.
Show.
I love
I know,
Tom.
I know. Rinse and repeat. I say it every morning when I wake up. There you go. Lindsay, what says you about this move of Ryan Fitzpatrick? And, you know, let's go on the idea that Washington's a smart enough organization to know that they need to address quarterback beyond Fitzpatrick. Do you think that, you know, so what are your thoughts on Fitzpatrick, and when do you think that they address the quarterback position beyond him?
So obviously I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's great. He's a great guy to have on your team, you know, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But the thing that you mentioned, how does this bide with the future for Washington? Because they have had so many seasons where they have fallen short, is putting it nicely. Yeah. I mean, since RG3, they haven't had anybody that stood out, and that was short-lived. So I don't get it. I really do not get the move. I mean, you're competing against a division that any one team could win it this year. We don't know, just because that was the situation last year. There really was no, I mean, obviously I think the Cowboys would have been the, you know, one at the top had Dak not been injured. And I feel like going into this season, that's the top one again. And I feel like they kind of built or are building this team to beat Dak Prescott, because the other two teams just really fell short last year. But I mean, if you're the Giants, like, you have Barkley back, you have Daniel Jones, who improved game after game after game. So you really don't know, like, I don't know. I just don't understand. Like you said, the Redskins are, or they're not the Redskins anymore. Every time. I still call the Chargers the San Diego.
Me too. Yep. I play the old 70s sound drop, the Superchargers drop.
Yeah, yes, I called this the Rams, the St. Louis Rams the other day. So, I mean, I'm still getting used to it. But anyways, I just feel like they, I'm not going to go as far to say as they ruin everybody that they touch. But, I mean, I just, I really don't get it.
Yeah. Not well, I think it's something that a lot of these moves that are happening, I feel like a lot of the times when we're saying, well, we'll see how they follow this up, it's the draft. It's, we'll see. And I don't think Washington would be, you know, day one drafting a quarterback the first round. I don't think Washington would do that. I don't think that's Ron Rivera's style. They're not going to trade up and get one of these guys. I think it's going to be a day two, day three, get a quarterback and just see how he is back there. Because really, you gave the contract to Taylor, you gave it to Ryan Fitzpatrick. You can draft a quarterback now, say this is our future. So, you know, maybe we'll see, and like, make him your third quarterback.
I would have loved to see Deshaun Watson go there. Like,
yeah,
I mean, selfishly, I knew that somehow they would ruin him, and I don't want that for Deshaun Watson. But that would have been a really smart move for them that says, hey, we're serious about this for once in our lives.
Well, what says you on that front? Do you think Watson's going to get moved? And I mean, I would imagine if he does, he's going to have to get moved before the draft, you'd imagine, right?
He has to get moved. It's like, once you have that breakage of that relationship, it's not going to be any better for either side. Right. Like, mom and dad don't love each other anymore. Like, you know, move out, divorce, you know, it's not going to make it any better for anybody if they try to keep Deshaun Watson there when he does not want to be there.
No, I love that you bring that up, the disruption of the relationship, because earlier in the offseason when they moved off of Bill O'Brien and we knew they were going to get a new head coach and general manager, and they took in the front office, and Cal McNair said to Deshaun, listen, you're going to have a say in who we bring in. And we knew that he wanted Bienemy, and they interviewed everybody but Eric Bienemy, and they hired the Cazario from New England. And that right there, when you and you highlighted this, Lindsay, when you ruin that trust, it's over. Deshaun is never going to trust Cal McNair and this front office again.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, they've already ruined his career this how many years? You know, they're just going to keep doing it again. And
outside, I'm sorry to interrupt, but outside of the Super Bowl for Russell Wilson earlier in his career, Deshaun Watson looks at Russell Wilson's career, and Russell Wilson has been punished with bad offensive lines and very little personnel around him compared to what other people have. Maybe Deshaun's like, listen, I don't want to end up like Russell Wilson going to my 8th or 10th season in Seattle and I want out. Let me get out now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Deshaun Watson's the best example of a guy that's just been just given the short end of the stick for how many years, you know, he's fed up. J.J. Watt was fed up. We saw it every single press conference after the game. He was so pissed off. Yep. He did not want to be there anymore. And just let him go. It's the best for both parties.
Yes. But unlike, just don't let him go to the goddamn West like J.J. Watt went to the NFC West. Yeah. Please, I don't need to deal with that. Anyway, I agree. I think you're the moment that happened, Anthony, you were saying, you know, the moment that trust was broken, we were on a road to avoiding the inevitable, and we'll get to that point at some point. But Lindsay, where do you think then Deshaun Watson would wind up? I mean, I tell you here, living in New York, listening to WFAN, they are still, you know, hoping, sitting, waiting, wishing, as a per Jack Johnson, that he goes to the Jets. But I don't know. I don't think the Niners are going to happen. I know some people mentioned that. That's not going to happen. That's too rich for Adam Peters and John Lynch's blood. They're not going to do it. But where do you think Watson could go?
I don't think the Jets, just because, I mean, the Jets aren't that great of an organization either. So it's kind of, I know Deshaun probably wouldn't want to go to a place like that. Don't come for me, Jets fans. Like, that's not.
They will anyway.
Mean, but, you know, I would like to see him somewhere like Carolina, I think, is my top landing spot for him, or Denver. Those are my top two.
And Carolina is a team at the, see, and this, again, this kind of brought it back to the whole Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch saying, you know, Jimmy's our guy, this and that. But, Matt Rhule came out and said, well, Teddy Bridgewater is our quarterback. He's, well, yeah, sure. But if you have the chance to get Deshaun Watson, then that shit's out the window. You know, sure. Then then you'll drive him to whatever city you want him to go to. So, yeah, I think Carolina would be a good pick. Denver, too. Yeah, Denver's probably lying in the weeds. And that's why I've been saying a lot. I think that the Eagles are kind of playing with house money at six in this draft, because if Watson's not moved at that point, sitting behind the Eagles is going to be the Broncos, the Panthers, if the Niners want to. That, you know, so, yeah, there could be some fireworks there in the draft. But is there a free agent out there now, Lindsay, and then we'll kick it to Anthony, that, you know, hasn't signed yet, whether we've heard something about him yet or haven't? Is there a free agent that you're kind of curious about where they sign?
He's not really a free agent, but after the Andy Dalton news, I feel like Allen Robinson wants to get out of there so even more quickly than he did a couple hours ago. So that's the one that I think, again, like I said with Watson, that I think he obviously doesn't want to play there anymore either. So I think it's best to just cut the ties there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I actually wondered who cursed harder when that news broke. Was it Bears fans or was it Allen Robinson? So, well, yeah. What's that, Andy?
There were reports that I saw that, you know, if Andy Dalton goes to Chicago, that was Pete Carroll's contingency plan because he liked Andy Dalton coming out of college. But, like, I get that there's money involved, but can't you just include Dalton in the deal at that point? Like, apparently they were going to draft Dalton, I guess, a year before they drafted Wilson or in that same draft.
I mean, I mean, Lindsay, you can comment on that, but I also saw some stuff since we've been on that apparently the Bears made the calls to Seattle, and Seattle said, we're not trading him right now. Right. So, not to say that, you know, but Lindsay, any other thoughts there?
I don't know. I've kind of gone back and forth on the Russell Wilson thing. I just, when I first heard it, I was like, there's no way. And then, like, as he started kind of, more stuff started to come out and about the relationship there, I was like, okay, maybe this could happen. And now I've kind of gone back to the, no, it's not going to happen. So.
Yeah. I've been saying for a while that there's the potential out in his contract after next year. So that's when I think the bullets are really going to start flying there. So we'll see what happens there. You know, good call on Allen Robinson, though. If I have to, I'm going to be selfish. And if I have to worry about a free agent, I am losing sleep over Trent Williams. Yeah. The longer time goes by that he's not signed by the Niners, I'm more and more worried. Mm-hmm. I'm cautiously optimistic they get it done. They're going to have to pay, clearly. But that's who I'm most intrigued by, only because I can't get my fandom out of the way. Anthony, what says you, though? Is there a free agent out there that you're looking to, very curious to see where they wind up?
Any free agent? Anybody. I mean, there's quite a few running backs and wide receivers, and they're those second wave dominoes. I think these are positions that are, you know, wide receiver more so than running back. That's pretty deep, but let's go with the running back position. And there are two names that really stick out, and I know the top ones. You know, Fournette's probably going to be up with Tom. At least that's what I would do. Chris Carson. He is what he is. The big one for me is Wayne Gallman. I like Wayne Gallman. I like what he did last year in New York, and he's not a polarizing player like Saquon Barkley. But if you dig into the Wayne Gallman story, that old, I think it was the McAdoo regime or the Shermer regime, they were out on him. I believe they wanted to cut him, and that regime went out the door, and he never really had the opportunity. I think Wayne Gallman, in a place like Atlanta, where he could be a featured back, like Atlanta featured Todd Gurley on one knee, Brian Hill, Ito Smith. Like Wayne Gallman in Atlanta, in that Arthur Smith offense, I think he would flourish. And he's that one player where nobody, even let's throw Mike Davis in there too, Jamal Williams, these career backup running backs that maybe have a little bit more than what they get credit for. And this is probably because of fantasy football Twitter, not really knowing anything outside of fantasy football.
That's true. Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Me either.
But that was probably... I think Gallman's rookie year was in 2017, so that would probably be Shermer then, if you're talking about coaching staff, McAdoo, Shermer. There you go. Lindsay, any thoughts there? Wayne Gallman.
Ed McAdoo and... even in the league anymore?
No.
No.
He's probably, maybe he's watching this show now. Maybe he's sitting there drinking some Irish whiskey and thinking about what he can do differently. But Lindsay, any thoughts on Gallman, and then we'll have a... Then I want to get to some Ravens with you for a second.
No, I don't really have any thoughts on that. I feel like a lot of – it's hard for running backs because they have such a short shelf life in the NFL. And once they kind of pass that mark, it's guys aren't really going to pay big money for them. And it sucks a lot this year because the salary cap is so low to begin with that a lot of the guys that are going out to get money really, unless you're one of – you know, the top free agents, you're really not going to get it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I'll ask you about the Ravens because, you know, I see you've got the Ravens cup. Are they going to add a wide receiver? And by wide receiver, I mean top level wide receiver and a top level that's on the market now. I mean, sure, they have guys like Miles Boykin and things to that effect, but I feel like we don't see them make that big plunge for a big-time wide receiver. Listen, it's worked out pretty well for them. They've been they don't win Super Bowls all the time, but they're a successful team for the most part. But do you think that this will be the year that they're going to add one of those top available wide receivers?
I don't think so. It's like you said, it's not something that they do. They've never done it. They never did it for Joe Flacco. They're probably not going to do it for Lamar Jackson. So it is what it is. I think the fans are more pressed about it than the actual team is. John Harbaugh will say any day of the week, like, we like the guys we have, yada, yada, yada. They all know the route where they sign a wide receiver who is on the back end of their career. You know, he's probably only going to play another two or three more years. And he's kind of hasn't really made a name for himself in the most recent years. This year is AJ Green. So that's kind of the name that I'm looking at for the Ravens. They'll sign somebody. But I don't think it's going to be like Kenny Galladay or, you know, Allen Robinson or any of those guys that they kind of floated around. I don't think I saw something about how they were, it was some random dude who, you know, you have to do what you do with these like random dudes who think they have info and everything like that. But they had mentioned like a DJ Chark trade. That's not the kind of guy that I think they're going to look for. They're going to look for more of like an AJ Green guy, who's going to be two years and that's it.
Not to mention, it's one thing to go ahead and sign a guy. Now you're going to go trade for the guy. I don't see that either. But I'll tell you this. You mentioned AJ Green's name and Anthony. Maybe it's from the energy drink. Maybe it's not. But he started feeling some sweat on his brow because he loves himself some AJ Green. Anthony, what says you? You do. Don't deny it.
I do love AJ Green.
You do. You can't quit him. Just like I can't quit Cam Newton. What says you? AJ Green, do you think that'd be a nice landing spot for him, or is there anywhere else that you're looking at?
You know, to me, it's a place like Baltimore, or of course, I'm going to throw New England in there because he's just that type of New England signing. You know, guy at the back end of his career, you can get really cheap, incentivize a deal. That's what we're seeing with Cam. I just think he's that type of signing for New England. I think the only thing I saw on AJ Green is that he's tending to some family stuff, and he's kind of putting free agency on hold. And to me, reading it between the lines, he doesn't have a lot of calls right now, which is understood when Juju Smith-Schuster and Kenny Golladay and Will Fuller aren't getting a lot of calls. AJ Green isn't either. But from a Baltimore perspective, Kevin Zeitler, this is a move that's flying under the radar, interior offensive line, something that Baltimore really needed when they were playing guys like Bradley Bozeman and Ben Powers last year. Matt Skura, a longtime starting center or guard, was benched. This Zeitler is a bigger upgrade for Lamar Jackson than any wide receiver.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, and I feel like the front office guys know that too. And that's why I said, like, you need to get a center before you get a wide receiver. I would take, like, I wanted Corey Linsley to go to Baltimore, but you know, they didn't do it. But I mean, obviously watching the Ravens last year, they missed Yanda so badly.
Yes.
And I feel like after the previous year, when Lamar Jackson had that fantastic year, nothing could stop him. It was kind of on the back burner that Yanda retired and nobody kind of, you know, mentioned it. And everybody expects once you lose a Hall of Fame player like that, that you're going to take a step back. But I mean, it was loud and clear how badly they missed Marshall Yanda. And I don't think Zeitler replaces him in any sense, but it's a very good upgrade from what they had last year. And it's a very good try to replace Marshall Yanda.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And you're right. A lot of people don't. We're too involved. Anthony, maybe we need a new community because we're too involved with the fantasy community. So they don't give a shit about linemen. They don't care about defensive players. They don't even know who Janoris Jenkins is, by the way, who just signed a deal, by the way, with the Titans. So,
running backs don't matter, even though they touched the ball the second most time in a football game next to quarterbacks and officials. So
yeah, no, they're useless.
They don't matter.
Yeah. That was the best was when I messaged Lindsay about coming on the show. She told me she's retired from fantasy, and I chuckled to myself, and I said, that's not going to be a fucking problem. That's going to be fine. We're not going to have that problem. You know, as we start to wrap it up, though, I do want to ask, you know, we saw some moves with tight ends, obviously. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, all going to the Patriots. Then there's Zach Ertz. And everybody started to ask this morning. They were like, well, wait a minute. Where's Zach Ertz? What's going on with that? Looks like Ian Rappaport has said that the Eagles have given him permission to pursue a trade. I mean, we saw that coming. We saw that coming from even before his emotional, you know, final talk to the media after the last game of the season. We knew what the fights with Howie Roseman. We knew where this was going. But, Lindsay, what says you? Zach Ertz, it'll have to be via trade. We'll see what the cost will be. Where do you think a good spot for Zach Ertz is?
So I had actually thought about this and New England was my spot, but obviously that's not the case now because they they're set at tight end at this point. I would like to see him someplace where he can succeed. Not that he didn't in Philadelphia, but he just had such, I mean, last year was awful for him, and it wasn't entirely all his fault. You know, the quarterback position there wasn't great. I wouldn't hate seeing him reunite with Carson Wentz in Indy. I almost said Jacksonville for some reason, but, you know, today and yesterday has just been, like, crazy.
It's fine.
But I'd like to see him somewhere where he can kind of get back to the Zach Ertz that he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he winds up. I think it depends on price.
Yeah.
I always find the Niners interesting because, and I don't think that it happens with Zach Ertz because I don't think that they'll want to pay the draft picks, even though it's not going to cost a lot. But, you know, you go back to last year where Evan Ingram was kind of available for a second, but then he wasn't, and the Niners made a call. I kind of wonder if the Niners would be half interested to at least just pick up the phone. I'm not saying it happens. I mean, I've said, and I'll just continue because I've said it once, so I'll just stick with it. I think the Buffalo Bills will get involved. Think, you know, I think they want a tight end. Somebody on Twitter told me, I don't know if you knew this, but if you want one position on offense, that means you neglect every other position because you have tunnel vision when you're an NFL GM. You're not able to assess all positions one at a time. I think Buffalo would be the spot for me. Anthony, by the way, I thought that was interesting today. We saw Rob Gronkowski obviously going back to Tampa, but apparently he did have the idea of maybe going to Buffalo. I'm not sure how far that got, but, you know, he did have that idea in his mind. Obviously, that is his hometown area. But, Anthony, what says you, Zach Ertz, any thoughts on where he might end up?
Well, number one on the Gronk to Buffalo, apparently that was very, very, very close to happening, which means Buffalo is not comfortable with Dalton Knox, and Zach Ertz would be a terrific landing spot with the Buffalo Bills. I think the one spot that people are overlooking, there were two, really, Tennessee Titans. A.J. Brown, out of the top five players who got a target share from them, it's A.J. Brown. Humphreys is gone. He had the concussion, but he was still like number four, number five in target share. John, who is gone. Corey Davis is gone. And Ferksker, I'm not sure if they tendered him, but he's a restricted free agent. Obviously, they need pass catchers. Zach Ertz fits there. And Zach Ertz also fills the void for Hunter Henry with Justin Herbert out west. And I'm not sure what Hunter Henry signed for, but I think Zach Ertz is going to be an $8 million cap hit, and he'll probably be a discount to what they would have had to pay Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry was 3 years, $37.5 million.
Okay, so yeah, if you trade for Zach Ertz, whatever you have to give up, a third or fourth round pick, which is what Philly is seeking, plus $8 million a year, I think you win that. Is there much of a difference between Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz?
No. I mean, I don't think so. Lindsay, what says you on that?
I don't think so. I think they're both kind of in the same tier. They're not a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce, but they're, you know.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. I wholeheartedly agree on that. Do we have anything else here to discuss, Anthony? Anything else breaking since we've been on? Anything else you care to mention? Maybe I forgot something.
Nothing breaking that I'm seeing right now. We talked about, I mean, obviously New England was the big one I wanted to talk about because I was so down on them. Now I'm up on them. Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill and the Breeze retirement. I think there's a realistic shot. Now, of course, Jameis will probably be the QB1 out the gate. But would you put it past Sean Payton to actually run a platoon system? And I wrote a reaction for this over at the Game Day NFL to the Jameis Winston and the Breeze retirement, two separate articles. And I went, and when was the last time a platoon actually worked? And we'd have to go back to Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer, 1973-74 Washington Redskins. They made a playoff run. And then after Don Meredith retired, 70-71, I believe, with the Dallas Cowboys, it was Craig Morton and Roger Staubach, and they went on to win the Super Bowl platooning quarterbacks. But that was so long ago. That's a different NFL. But I would not put it past Sean Payton and his ego to platoon these guys.
Look at you flashing your knowledge with the 70s. I love it. There you go. That's good. That's good. Lindsay, as we start to wrap it up, then I'll ask you. I mean, we kind of briefly.
We go back to the Rams even earlier than that, but I don't have the exact information.
You break out the encyclopedia while I ask Lindsay, and you find all that out for us, and you let us know. But Lindsay, what says you? I mean, so we kind of talked about quarterbacks there and not knowing exactly what they have in mind with spending the money that they're spending. What do you think is the actual plan for the Saints here? Could it be a platoon? Could it be predominantly Jameis Winston and we get Taysom Hill in there every now and again? How is that going to work out in your eyes?
I honestly, like I said before, I have no clue what they're planning on doing there. I feel like they have this idea in their heads that they want to start Jameis and then use Taysom Hill as like the extra little spice to throw in there. But right. I mean, that doesn't work out long term at all. So I don't see that working for a long period of time. I think, like I mentioned before, in training camp or something, I feel like one of them is going to, you know, gain some speed ahead of the other, and that's just going to be the starter.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if that happens to be Jameis, then you have a very expensive backup.
Very true story. Mike, the most expensive gadget player in the game. Anthony, what do you got?
Mike,
did you look through the encyclopedia?
We have breaking news for your 49ers on the wide receiver front.
Oh.
It's not Kenny Galladay.
Wide receiver, that's interesting.
It's not Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's got to be somebody low-level.
It's not even Dante Pettis. You have retained the rights to Marquise Goodwin. He has reverted back to your roster.
Oh, I always have a soft spot for Marquise.
Per the terms of the trade you made last year with Philly.
I dig that. I have a soft spot in my heart for Marquise Goodwin. That's nice.
So there you go. You got better, worse. I don't know.
Dude, I've got Deebo Samuel and I've got Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. I'm not exactly losing sleep. I just want to know
who Jordan Matthews back. That's what you need.
I hate you. I just want to know who my tackle is going to be. So there you go. Lindsay, you've been a fantastic guest. Tell everybody again where they could follow you, where they could check out all your work and all that fun stuff. And we genuinely, me and Anthony will say, we're big fans. Absolutely. We appreciate how you handle the trolls, because we know the trolls, let's just be honest, they're jackasses, and you seem to handle them rather well with humor, and I thoroughly enjoy that. So thank you for that.
Like, some days it's harder to deal with than others. Like, if you're having a bad day or something, like something somebody says can really get to you. But I mean, at the end of the day, I know little Timmy behind his faceless sports Twitter account, he's just mad at himself at the end of the day. So.
If you can't deal with trolls, you shouldn't be in this business.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
Yeah. Lindsay, where's the palm? I thought you were going to, I thought the dog would have been around. Roman's
this
right
all
here.
He wanted. This was all he wanted, Anthony.
It's his nap time.
It's his nap time, Anthony.
Yeah. Mine too, and he almost bit me because I woke him up.
Of course. He mentioned this all week. He's like, I got to bring the palm on.
He looks just like mine.
That's Roman. He is the official mascot of the FF Faceoff. So
he's been making daily appearances.
Yes.
13 years old.
Mine's 14.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you had him or her the whole life?
Yeah. I've had him since he was 6 weeks old.
Me too. 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't have a dog here to pick up. So. Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
You can borrow Roman or one of the cats.
I'll take one of the cats, yeah.
Okay.
I can't. My wife's not a cat person. That would not go well.
I was never a cat person, but now I am.
Okay. Lindsay, cat person? No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, I can't. My parents have cats, and whenever I bring the wife over there, she claims that they're trying to look through her soul, and she doesn't like it. So
they're sneaky, but they're fun.
It's good.
They're fun.
Not where I thought the convo would go, but I should have known. I forgot you were going to bring up the palms. I forgot Roman was
always
going to come up.
Always animal talk.
So good times. There you go. So, but Lindsay, tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter and check out all your work.
Follow me at Lindsay OK on every social media site. It's all the same. And if you want to see pictures of my palm, he is usually somewhere. just not right here right now.
There you go. Good stuff. Anthony, anything that you have to say before we ride off into the sunset today?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're listening right now on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review telling everyone why you love the show and why we are the best at what we do here at the FF Faceoff. Because the more subscriptions, ratings, reviews that we get, the more people we can help dominate their fantasy football leagues and hopefully raise their NFL IQ as a whole, if they're paying attention outside of fantasy. Mike, take it home.
Well, if they're in fantasy, they're not paying attention. So there you go. That, The hate's brewing there, Anthony. This is not good. So yeah.
Like, what's a J.J. Watt?
What's a J.J. Watt? Right. What is that? What is that animal? I don't know what that is. Yeah. So that will do it for our show today. Lindsay, this is where we have our awkward pause, and then we'll talk to you a little bit off air. I always hate the awkward pause as we do this, but whatever. So I'll tell everybody, until next time, stay thirsty. Be kind to one another. If they ask you to wear a mask, COVID is still semi-serious, so throw that mask on. And enjoy your whiskeys, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cheers.